This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
It is hour number two of the Diehards. 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. OKC, the team has lost 14 in a row, beating the Celtics by two. I don't know what to say, Tim McCone. I don't even have words anymore for this Celtics team. I know people are probably sick of us talking about it. But we are here in Boston. They're a team that were projected to make the playoffs, the four of the last five Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, they're projected to be there, and they might not make the playoffs.
Well,
that's how bad this team is.
Yeah, it's not just projected, like you said. I mean, it was a situation where going into last year in that Eastern Conference Finals matchup, you thought that they were going to beat the Miami Heat, and on paper, they probably should have. So expectations sky high with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and being a year older, and this team is just wildly underachieved again and again. You know, we talked about it earlier, but it's very reminiscent of that Kyrie Irving year a couple years ago when Kyrie had kind of checked out, was over it, didn't gel with the rest of the team.
The team chemistry was horrific.
The chemistry was awful, yep. And the team underachieved and got their doors blown off by the Bucks in the second round of the playoffs, and it feels like this team is trending in that direction. They're going to be lucky to make the second round of the playoffs this year, though.
Yep.
I mean, it is not good, and one of the things that really sucks about the situation he said it's kind of making Kyrie look good. It's probably one of my least favorite athletes of the last decade, too.
So I agree.
I can't do it. Yeah.
And again, you talk about those two stars and superstars in this league, and then you throw in Kemba Walker. And,
right.
You know, you had guys like Marcus Smart that was supposed to be the glue holding this team together, veteran guys. They bring in Tristan Thompson, who to me has been a huge disappointment. And I'm just really bummed out again because I'm thinking that, you know, this is a team that should make a deep run. I didn't anticipate they would get to the finals. I just think there are other teams that are better, but not to be possibly outside looking in the playoffs is an absolute joke.
Right, and you go back to the Isaiah Thomas years just a few years ago where those teams just seemed to overachieve and want it more than any other team, and that was one of the reasons they were successful. You thought that would transition to this new group, and it's the exact opposite, and I think that's one of the frustrating things. This team just does not want it the way that they should.
Let's take a break. When we return, we'll get back to the Progressive Guest Line, the sports professor, sports business guru, consultant, Mr. Rick Horro joins the Diehards next. Keep it right here.
This is the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East in Boston, Massachusetts. Hanging out with Tim McCone, NBC 10 Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub. He's my friend tonight. My friends are also from Willie's Super Brew. Willie's Super Brew is a hard seltzer blended with real fruit. It's gluten-free and low in carbs and calories. It's brewed with thousands of pounds of real fruits and spices, meaning it's bursting with real flavor. It's about drinking real, a drink made from real ingredients by real people with real impact. It was all started by a goat farmer named Willie and a surfer named Nico on a Cape Cod beach. And the rest is history. Check them out at superbrew.com. That's superbrew.com or at Drink Super Brew. Let's get right back to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. The sports business consultant, guru, sports professor himself, Mr. Rick Horro. Say hello to Tim McCone.
Hey, Tim. Good to talk to you. But I also want to ask Pepe, how does he get all of you top high visibility Boston media types to be on his radio show on a regular basis? Don't you demand exclusivity in some way?
I give them free candy and booze.
That's a really simple formula, and it works. Yeah,
that's all it is, man.
It is. The bar's low.
We drive a harder bargain down in Florida. You know, I'm not sure. I'd love to be your agent because you're giving away too much. I can tell you that right now.
Hey, man, Thursday night, no secret who's going to be the number one pick. It's going to be that dude, Trevor Lawrence. The question is, will Gatorade be poured over him? He has a new deal with them, correct?
Yeah, right. So that's kind of cool. He's also got a deal with Bitcoin, which is interesting because I still don't understand it. But, you know, listen, 60 grand for one Bitcoin? No, I'm sorry. Now it's 48. So, you know, you don't know. and he'll do that deal. And then I got a friend who owns a company called Revolution Cooking, and they got into a deal. It's much too long to talk about here, but he ends up being the toast of Jacksonville. He gets toasters. So they're going to do toasting Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence billboards all over Jacksonville. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot in Jacksonville. That's part of the problem. But, man, you know, between him and Urban Meyer, they better perform because they're out of moves. I assume this is the right answer. They better get him some protection. You know, they better run the ball. It's so much is riding on him that is probably the biggest story, I think. You know, Elway maybe and some of the other saviors of franchises, but I can't think of anybody who couldn't have come along at a more important time than Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville.
Hey, Rick, before Tim hops in here, that Revolution Cooking, if you can put me in touch with them off the air, because I'd like to get some toasters to maybe get some bigger personalities in here to give away.
That would be great. Listen, I got to tell you, the problem is, and I know you pretty well, and I've done all your Google stuff, I'm not sure toasters are going to do it for you.
You need
something else, like maybe $100,000?
Yeah,
maybe?
Why not?
Get in that Bitcoin game there, Pep.
I'm trying.
That. Hey, we're sitting here watching baseball right now in the studio, and just a crazy story with the Oakland A's and their new ballpark. An estimated $12 billion price tag for that. Is that right? And just kind of touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not $12 million for the park, but it's $12 million for the project. And so, you know, housing units, commercial, retail, they're going to take that piece of land that the county and city own together, that Oracle and the stadium were on, and turn it into a big retail development. If you guys have been out there and go on 888 out there, it's a 880. It's a big opportunity, and the ballpark's not $12 billion, but the ballpark's pretty significant. Jack London Square. And listen, the city council and the Alameda County Council have better read the memo, which is you have one shot left. You know, you lost your football team, you lost your basketball team. You better not lose this team. And it's a great urban infrastructure development process, kind of like Fenway and Camden and Petco and some of the other development opportunities. So they better not screw this up.
Revolution R180 High Speed Smart Toaster. I need one of these, Rick.
There you go.
I need one of these, man.
$400 though. The problem is, I'm not sure. Have you shelled out $400 for anything in your life? Like
no,
like,
I usually get all the perks. You know how I roll.
Have you ever paid for anything? Ever?
No, I'm that guy. I get all the perks. I'm that guy.
You know, usually that guy is your co-host, the TV guy, the radio guy. I'm not sure you got to pay for something.
Hey, you want another Mamitas or Willie Superbrew over there?
I like how you put those plugs in too while he's doing it there. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Hey Rick,
is over before it starts. I am sorry, I didn't mean this. Sorry.
Hey Rick, rumor has it that Netflix is getting into the video game space, if you will. What's the deal there?
Well, 2.7 billion opportunities for them, and they million turned into billion. They want to make sure that they take all of their goodwill from we all watch Netflix. We default to it. We end up wanting to watch everything on it. And so their idea is, let's do gaming, let's do fantasy, let's do esports. And the way to get into it is video games as a transition. Amazon tried, and it's not over yet, but they're not as successful as they thought. So it doesn't just mean you put up the flag, you get in, and you succeed. So they're in a situation where they've got a lot of cash, and they're going to try to figure it out. But we all know that the big issue right now, as we know, that my friends at Sports Grid that I'm doing stuff with, and you know, you guys have a relationship with them,
yep.
All about gaming, all about deals. And I think if they get in the game, Netflix has a lot to bring, but it's also a big risk.
By the way, the rumor out there that Blockbuster Video went under because they didn't buy Netflix is not true. There's a great documentary on Netflix called The Last Blockbuster. It's in Bend, Oregon, and it's the only Blockbuster still standing. And it breaks that myth that everyone believes that Blockbuster went under because they didn't buy Netflix. Just want to throw that out there, Rick.
Well, I'll catch it and throw it back to you. I watched it last Monday, and it is an amazing documentary.
It's awesome.
I got to know, as you know, Wayne Huizenga, who because of his Panthers and Marlins.
Sure.
What an incredible individual, the blockbuster, the waste, you know, the waste management guy. And a lot of it is dramatic rumor, but it's a great documentary. People ought to spend, what was it, about an hour or 40 and just watch it because you learn a lot.
Rick, it was awesome because, again, it took me back to my childhood. You know, again, when you go to the video store and there's, you know, a copy or 20 copies of the new movie and the excitement level just being around. And, again, kids nowadays, they have no idea what that's all about. But it was just a fascinating documentary, and people must watch it.
Yeah, but wait a second. Childhood, you were middle-aged then, not childhood.
No, I was not. Stop it. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Sports professor Rick Horro hanging out with the diehards here, Sports Map Radio Network. Rick, what are we looking at Kentucky Derby sponsorship-wise? Are they going to set some records here? Is it going to be down? What's the deal?
Well, you know, Yum Brands has done it for years, and this year, remember last year, we had the races, but they were in the wrong order. So the Kentucky Derby didn't matter. Now we got it in the right order, and whoever wins the Derby has 2 weeks of claiming. They've got a Triple Crown opportunity, although it's not the same as 50 years ago because now we're not the next one in the last century to win the Triple Crown. But still, you know, people are coming back to Louisville. They're 52%. It'll be an incredible event. NBC will cover it. NBC needs some help, right? They need some love. My friends Mark Lazarus and the guys who run NBC Sports, that whole kind of breakup with the NHL is a very difficult breakup, and it's streaming and more streaming, and you know, NBC had Peacock, but ESPN has all of those extra channels. I know you wanted to talk about the Derby, but you know, NBC keeps its major sports, but if you were to say a couple of years ago that the NHL wouldn't be one of their prime properties, they'd say, well, you know, you're wrong. But you're not. You're right.
Hey, Rick, before we let you go, we had our longtime pal on the show, Mike Giardi from the NFL Network, and I hear that the NFL Network and the NFL Red Zone are coming to Hulu and live TV. What's that all about?
Hulu, live TV, podcasting. The NFL Network is trying to branch out into the things that we all know, which is the hour-long sports show is almost a dinosaur. It's four-minute bits. It's the exciting kind of excerpts of stuff. So they're doing a whole lot of interesting things beyond the draft. And we'll see what the draft does to spark some interest, as it usually does. I've heard more lies in the last four days with general managers than I heard in the last presidential campaign. That's a lot of lies. So we'll have to see how it all shakes out. The draft will be great. Cleveland will be great. The Rams have a draft room in Malibu that's 9,000 square feet. I love that house after the draft is over. The Cardinals in it last year, and everybody's excited about it. Even more excited is the opportunity to play golf with you either on the 11th or the 12th in Worcester, or I'll come to Boston before the Polar Park opens in Worcester. You and I have talked about that, and I'm really excited about it. You don't remember, but I'm remembering.
You just reminded me. You just hit me up, and by the way, you hit me up with that contact at Revolution Cooking, revcook.com, by the way. Revolution R180 high-speed smart toaster. I need those for my guests.
Deal. I will talk to Tom Klaff, who is the chairman, and by the way, I've known him for a long time, and we'll connect you guys.
Awesome.
It's a deal.
Hey, Rick, you're the best. Okay. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right, there he is, Rick Horro, the sports professor himself. I mean, you'd come back for a toaster, wouldn't you?
I would, or just a trip to Polar Park, Worcester, my hometown. I'm absolutely up for that as well.
Are you excited for the Woo Sox to be out there?
I am thrilled. Went on the tour of the park a couple weeks ago.
How was it? Was it awesome?
It's going to be legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be
really
slightly
awesome. Better than Pawtucket?
Yeah, that's a low bar. That's a low bar, but yes.
What a hellhole that was.
It's you know what? You don't really realize it when you go day in and day out. But
to McCoy Stadium.
To one,
like,
you're
my goodness.
Yeah, they needed some upgrades there, yeah.
Let's take a break. When we return, we're just going to hang out and talk out NFL draft. He's Tim McCone from NBC 10 Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'm Anthony Pepe. You're listening to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
These toasters are legit, man.
Yeah.
RevCook.com. Check them out. I need one. Hopefully hook us up. Next time you're in, you'll get a toaster instead of a candy bar.
Yeah.
A Mamita. No offense to the candy bar Mamita. We know how much you like that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
We also like our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts, here to keep your car on the road with the right parts, advice from their professional parts people, and their free loaner tool program. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and ask about their free loaner tool program, or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, Tim, we talked a lot about your Binky TB12 leaving and leaving a void for QB1 with the Patriots, and what are they going to do with the 15th pick? Should they move up? Do they wait at 15? And if there's a quarterback available, do they pick him? I'm just curious to get your take. Like, let's just say they either pick a quarterback in this draft and he's a bust, or they bring Jimmy G back and he just can't play or can't stay on the field and he's injured and doesn't work out. What does that do for the Patriots and Bill Belichick's legacy?
Well, so here's the biggest glaring thing that I think stands out in terms of the Brady breakup with the Patriots is the lack of a plan that was in place. Because to your point, even if you go out, let's say, and draft a guy right now at 15, you can't tell me your plan moving on from Brady was, hey, you know what? We're going to be mediocre, finish in the middle of the pack, and then we're going to grab the fourth or fifth best quarterback available, and that's going to be our guy moving forward, and this is going to be perfect. Or that everything is going to fall apart because of injuries for San Francisco. They're going to be up there, and they're going to trade their next three drafts away to move up to three, and then Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be available. Neither one of those scenarios was really a plan that you could have played out for Bill Belichick. So just the lack of a plan at the most important position for the team that we have called the model organization and the team that's always a step ahead of everyone
else. This isn't the Patriot way.
This just seems like, hey, let's hope that this works out for us. It's bizarre, and it's going to be really interesting, to your point, what the plan is moving forward, because I can't imagine Cam Newton is going to be the starter week one.
And again, let's just say, for argument's sake, you know, Justin Fields slips to 15, or they move up and they draft him, and he can't play for lick. Like, he stinks. He's a bust. You mentioned half these guys are going to be busts.
Yeah.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, they put him in there, and he plays for 2 years and can't play. Now what? Like you know, you set your franchise back, you know, how many more years?
Which, again, you would think that you would have a plan in place and a guy that you were comfortable with moving from and moving off of Tom Brady. Pretty tough to knock the greatest quarterback of all time to the point where you let him walk out the door and you don't have a plan in place, because it sets you up for this, right? Haven't we seen it with the Dolphins? Like, didn't we make fun of the Dolphins for the last 20 years in New England? Because how do you let it get to the point with Marino where he can't play anymore and you don't have a plan in place? And now you're seeing it play out with, again, what we thought was the smartest organization in football that clearly has not had a plan in place and doesn't seem to have a clear plan in place for the quarterback position. Because to your point, too, even if they go out and draft this guy, who knows if Justin Fields can't play.
And again, let's say they bring Jimmy Garoppolo in here. The Niners pick at number three. They pick their quarterback, and the Patriots are able to, quote, steal Jimmy Garoppolo, because there's going to be no value. Everybody knows it.
Yep.
They bring him in here. First of all, the guy can't stay healthy, but let's just say, you know, he's on the field, but maybe can't play. Now, here's the guy that Bill Belichick wanted. Here's the guy that Kraft said, no way, we're keeping Brady. They went another ship with Brady, and all that animosity. Belichick finally gets his guy. Let's just say he's not the guy. Then what does that say about Bill Belichick?
It's a great point, and you just go back to the evaluations that this team has done on the quarterback position. And I go back to the Seth Wickersham article, the ESPN article that came out a few years ago, where they said, hey, you know what, this Tom Brady stuff, yeah, he's great, and yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl, but he's taking a step back. Some of these balls aren't as crisp. Got Chris Hogan hurt in the Texans game with that throw. You know, we don't think he's a quarterback everyone else thinks he does, and we've seen slippage. Okay, so that's the way you're evaluating the position, but now you're bringing in, one, Cam Newton. How's that evaluation going, where you're bringing him in? Number two, bringing him back after last year. And number three, bringing in a guy in Jimmy Garoppolo that, yeah, maybe you know what you're getting with in terms of what he's capable of doing in your system, but I don't know how you don't see the injury history and the track record with him and think, this is going to be someone that we can hitch our wagon to long term. He can't stay healthy. He's done it for 1 year. Couldn't stay healthy in the 4-game suspension that Brady had back in 2016.
We know the track record of the Patriots QBs. Obviously, you know, the Brady situation, and obviously we all know what happened there. The GOAT, the greatest ever. Then you had the guys like Matt Castle for that
2008
season where they went 11-5 and missed the playoffs, but Castle was in because Brady had the knee injury. We know Brissett, comes out of the system and has some good games for the Colts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And some of these other guys that have been backups that they learned the Patriot way and they've had some success in the league, but not great success. Jimmy Garoppolo was supposed to be the pinnacle guy that was on this pedestal. And to me, again, I've watched him. I've watched him get injured. I've watched him, the small sample that we've seen him, and I'm just stunned that Bill Belichick's going to go, hey, you know what? Here's the guy I want. The guy can't stay healthy. The reason Bill Belichick and Brady won all their Super Bowls because with the exception of that 1 year, Tom Brady was healthy his whole career.
Best ability is availability, right? Haven't we heard that for years too, coming all the way back from the Parcells years? And you're right. He's not available a vast majority of the time. And again, I just go back to it and the way that they've dealt with this whole quarterback position and kind of the arrogance that this Patriots organization has had and thinking, you know what? We can win with a top 15 quarterback. We just need a middle of the road guy, plug and play
our
system
yeah.
and we're going to be successful. Jimmy Garoppolo certainly fits the mold of a, middle of the pack quarterback. But again, if he gets banged up, which more than likely he's going to, then who do you turn to? And I find it hard to believe that this was the plan for, again, the smartest organization in football. But you know what? We say that, and then you look at what the Bucs did in year one with Brady. So maybe it wasn't the organization after all. Maybe it was that quarterback.
And again, you mentioned Cam Newton. The guy couldn't throw a lick, but you're like, all right, well, this guy in this system, and you looked at some of those early games, the Buffalo fumble that he had a chance to win that game, the Seattle game where he got stuffed. I mean, if he wins those games, maybe last season's a different story, and the Cam Newton train is a little different story, but he loses those games, he can't throw a lick, and you're thinking, all right, well, dink and dunk, he can at least throw a quick out or a quick slant. He couldn't even do that.
Yeah, and you know what? We've been hammering this Patriots coaching staff over the last few minutes, but I'll say this, and it goes back to Scott Mutrin, what he said last hour in terms of the best coaches in football put their players in a position to be successful. Patriots did that with Cam Newton last year. It wasn't like they asked him to be Tom Brady. They did different things. He's just physically not able to do it. And then you take that to Jimmy Garoppolo. That's fine. You can put him in a position of being successful. He can't be successful if he's not on the field, though. And I just go back to that because that's the biggest issue with Jimmy G. And you've even heard the Niners talk about it this week, too, where, yeah, we like Jimmy. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. And that's why we just traded 3 first-round picks to go up and get this other quarterback. Think about what they think of Jimmy Garoppolo if they're willing to make that move at the quarterback position. I mean, that kind of stands out to me as well.
And maybe they're thinking, hey, you know what? We get Jimmy G in here. He can't stay healthy. So, hey, you know what? We'll sign Cam Newton because he knows our system and he can be the guy that if Jimmy can't be there, we have Cam Newton, which makes me sick to my stomach thinking about it. It's like from a Patriots fan standpoint, like I'm not excited. I want them to move up. I want them like you to get one of these stud quarterbacks. I also just worry that again, half these guys are going to be really good. A few of them are going to be really good, and a lot of them are going to be busts.
No, you're 100% right. And if you're not the first one off the board, like the Trevor Lawrence, who again Scott said is head and shoulders kind of above the rest of this class, I think there's reason to be concerned with each and every one of these guys. And like we've talked about this whole show, right? Half of these guys aren't going to be good. They're not. And that's just the history of the draft.
That's the reality.
So which ones are going to be? I don't know. I'm in here talking about it, and on the weekends at 98.5, I'm certainly not qualified to tell you. I'm just telling you that some of them are not going to be good. History tells us that half of these quarterbacks are going to be busts. And you're right. If you're at 15 and you're kind of getting the last pick of the litter here, I don't feel super confident about that. You don't want to wind up with Josh Rosen, right?
No, you do not.
That's what it comes down to.
And it's funny because you hear some Patriot fans, and we have less than a minute left here, hey, let's just wait it out, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be moved soon. He'll be 38 years old. Like 38 years old. That's your next plans. And again, I love Aaron Rodgers. The guy can still play football, and he's one of the elite best quarterbacks. But you're going to hitch all your wagons with a 38-year-old?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
All right, we're going to talk more NFL coming up next. He's one of the best in the business, longtime friend of the show from Yahoo Sports, NFL draft expert, Eric Edholm is on the Progressive Guest Line next with the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East in Boston, Massachusetts. My friend tonight is Tim McCone from NBC 10 Boston and 98.5 The Sports Hub. My friend is also on the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. One of the best in the business, NFL draft expert, Yahoo Sports, Mr. Eric Edholm. Eric, welcome back to the Diehards. How are you, pal?
I got to milk this expert thing a little longer. I only get called an expert like 1 month a year. It certainly doesn't happen in the summer or the winter. So I appreciate you saying that, man. Thank you.
Hey, man, again, I every time I talk to you, I have to catch myself. Pro Football Weekly's own, Eric Edholm. I mean, we had you on the original Diehards in 03 with Ryan Russillo and John Anik. And I tell you this story every time, and I'm like, you were known as Pro Football Weekly's Eric Edholm.
I know. That was my title. I had two stints there, two at Yahoo. It's very confusing. No one's really sure where I'm at.
Hey, man, we're talking about, obviously, this draft and all the quarterbacks situation going on. We know what some of the top teams are going to do. What are the Miami Dolphins going to do getting that pick from the Eagles at number six?
Yeah, it's a great question because quarterbacks expected to go 1 through 3. We don't know what the Atlanta Falcons are going to do, but Kyle Pitts would not stun me.
Sure.
I think Ja'Marr Chase would not stun me at 5. So sitting there, missing out on Pitts would be tough for Miami. I think they'll at least put in a call to Atlanta and say, hey, can we flip spots? I don't think they'll do it, but you got to make the call, I think. That said, if they could trade down a few spots and grab either Jaylen Waddle or Devontae Smith, I think they would do it. If they could move back to that, you know, 9-10 range, something like that, you know, that would be ideal for them. I don't know that it can happen. I don't know that it's going to happen, but that would be sort of nirvana for them, I think. But Waddle, if they're stuck at 6, I know there's been some chatter. Maybe it's Penei Sewell there. I really think it's going to be Waddle. I don't think they take a tackle at 6. So just a gut feeling at this point.
Hey, Eric, obviously the storyline in this draft so far is the quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. I'm wondering if you think there's any possibility that maybe we get an Aaron Rodgers, Brady Quinn type situation where we see one of these quarterbacks kind of waiting a lot further to go than what we originally anticipated.
Yeah, maybe not quite that. What was Quinn was about 22nd, I want to say. Rodgers
yeah,
about
yep.
26 or something, right? I don't know what we'll get to that point because there are a couple of landmines there. You know, I mean, I think Justin Fields, if somehow he got to number 19 or 20, the Washington football team and the Bears would certainly be open to taking him right there. So that's still a wait, though, right? I mean, if that were to happen, which, you know, it still would surprise me quite a bit. I feel like there will be a little bit of activity. But the one thing I've been able to kind of gather talking to people in the last week, 10 days, is that, you know, as people sat back around the league and looked at what the 49ers paid to move up from 12 to 3, it was an exorbitant price. I mean,
sure.
It really was like, go up and get it. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it takes, you know, Vontae Mack, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it really was a massive price. I think that has scared off other teams from trying to make big moves up because they say, we can't match that. We don't have the ammunition. We're not picking high enough. We're not willing to give up two future firsts. So, you know, that may kind of dampen things a little bit. And you may see, you know, Lance have to wait a few picks and kind of figure out where he's going or figure out where Fields eventually lands. You know, I don't know what New England's going to do at 15. I've heard tackle. I've heard corner. You know, there's been a little whispers about maybe Stephon Gilmore possibly being up for you know, a trade if that situation comes up. I don't know. But I can't imagine Fields lasting into the 20s or anything like that.
If one of these quarterbacks, Eric, fall to 11 and the New York Giants are there, are they picking a QB1 or are they still happy and going forward with Danny Dimes?
Yeah, I think he's their guy at least for another year. And I mean,
all right.
You know, there's, yeah, I mean, I've heard obviously some people ask, hey, what would the Carolina Panthers do even after getting Darnold if one of those guys they like was there? What would the Giants do? What would the Raiders do? Are they a quarterback team? I mean, there's a few teams maybe lying in the weeds that haven't made the waves that could be in that market.
Yep.
And are just really playing great poker faces right now. It's possible, but if I had to guess for the Giants, I would say cornerback. I would say J.C. Horn is a possibility from South Carolina. They could look to move down just so Dave Gettleman could rub it in everybody's face. Aha! See, I did finally move down after all these years. I wouldn't put it past the guy from Mattapan. You know what I mean? Like, he's got a little chip on his shoulder.
Eric, I'm wondering what prospect do you absolutely just kind of love right now? And then give me a guy too that you're hearing a lot of buzz about that maybe you just say, you know what? I just don't see it. I don't really necessarily get him going as high as you think he's going to wind up going.
Yeah, I mean, saying you like Kyle Pitts is like saying you like alcohol or ice cream, or it's an obvious one, right? So, yeah, like maybe we can dig a little bit deeper. You know, I had the pleasure, the honor. You know, it was a sad thing, obviously, because of the passing of Therese Paylor at Yahoo Sports, my colleague. But I had the honor to help kind of fill his shoes on the All Juice team. And Therese was always looking for the guys who had, you know, performance, attitude, energy. Like, he loved the ones who played through the whistle, the guys who had the juice, you know, and that's what really made that team. And one of the guys that I sort of just fell in love with in the process, I don't think he's going to be a first-round pick. You know, he may not even be a second-rounder. He may have to wait till the early third. But Elijah Molden from Washington is just a player who, you know, he ain't big, he ain't fast, but boy, he's a player. And he's got those instincts, and he's got the juice, the intelligence, whatever you want to quantify it as. So he's a later-round pick that I suspect wherever he ends up landing, like 5 years from now, we're going to say, how did that dude last that long? How did he get to that spot? And that just sort of feels like the kind of guy he is. Not the name to tuck away, but, you know, if you're looking for somebody who could sort of sneak into the back of round one, who's a little bit of a surprise to some people, I would throw out Joe Tryon, the edge rusher from Washington, you know, opt-out guy who was really talented, a little raw. Maybe a team like Cleveland or Buffalo, one of those teams looking for a pass rusher. Jamine Davis from Kentucky is another one who, you know, tested through the roof, had a great year in his 1 year starting last year. Big athletic linebacker. You know, those are some names. Alex Leatherwood from Alabama. A lot of people thought he might be a second rounder. I think he's going to be a late first. So kind of a, you know, an interesting group as we get to the latter rounds of round one. I bet you'll hear three or four surprising names in the last, you know, 10, 12 picks of the round.
Quote by and save on home insurance, the Progressive's new home quote explorer, only at progressive.com. Hanging out with the diehards on the Progressive guest line from Yahoo Sports NFL draft expert Eric Edholm here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Eric, you mentioned the New England Patriots here in our backyard. What are they going to do with the 15th pick? Are they going to try to move up? I heard a rumbling of, you know, one of the Sports Talk radio shows talking about trading defensive back Gilmore to move up into the top 10 to possibly, you know, go after a quarterback. What's more likely, in your opinion? They draft a quarterback, they maybe get one at 15, or they bring in Jimmy Garoppolo? What's more likely?
You know, I wouldn't be shocked if it's none of the above. Like, when they can take a quarterback on day two, they could maybe go, you know, Gardner Minshew or one of those sort of cheaper routes that way. I don't know. Maybe I'm totally wrong, because day three or four of their big free agency spree, I'm sitting there going, wait, they're signing everybody. They've got a pretty full roster. They have 79 dudes or something on the roster right now and 10 picks. Like, you can't use them all, right? They're the undrafted free agent kings, so they're going to bring in, you know, a bunch of those guys too. It makes sense on paper. Like, trade your picks. Who cares if you have a, you know, five-man draft class this year? You give up one pick next year or something. Maybe Gilmore's gone. There's something in my head that's telling me it just doesn't pass the sniff test for me, but, you know, he's never done it before. Bill's never moved up for a quarterback in that part of the draft. He's never picked higher than 61st. And Garoppolo's salary to me, like, I get it. If they pick Mac Jones at 3, what's Sam Brandt going to do? Try to convince everyone there's a competition? No. He's going to be the starter, I think. So they want to move him. I just don't know that New England's going to be able to take on that massive salary and find room for him. It would require trading Gilmore and doing other stuff too, I think. So, I don't know. I sort of just get the feeling they're going to go the route that nobody expects at quarterback, and I don't believe it's round one.
You mentioned the price that the Niners had to pay to move up to three. Do you expect some moves here in the top 10 once we get to draft night?
I think they're going to be short ones. I think they're going to be one spot, two spots, three spot. You know what I mean? Like just hopping ahead of one team. And, you know, what's really interesting to me is you've got that cluster at 10, 11, 12, all NFC East teams. Cowboys at 10, Giants at 11, Eagles at 12. Yeah, I've made some phone calls in the last few days, and I get the sense that those teams are very anxious to figure out what the other teams are doing. They kind of sort of have some overlapping needs, some players that they both like, all three like that, I should say. So maybe one of the Alabama receivers goes to, you know, either the Giants or Philly. I mentioned Horn. I think Horn would be a great fit in either, you know, New York or Philly as well. Dallas seems to be in the market for a corner. You know, Patrick Surtain could be there. He could not. You know, Carolina's been mentioned. There are just a few interesting little angles like that that could cause like a three-pick move up. But I really think that if, you know, it's like your neighbor sells their house for way over market, that's good for you. This is the opposite. I think it's going to hurt teams looking to move up because of what San Fran paid to do their trade.
Eric, final couple of minutes here. You mentioned making your phone calls. You've been doing this a long time, so is it safe to say that your phone calls in previous years, you kind of had a better sense of where teams were going and what teams were doing, where this year it's just a crapshoot, not knowing what's happening?
Well, you know, mock drafts are always going to be very, you know, inaccurate things. Like, if you get 8 or 9 picks right in round one, you're doing something right. So that gives you an idea. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be more or less. I mean, the top of the draft feels, you know, like there's a shape to it. And, you know, I can see, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if I get 6 or 7 of the top 10 picks right. But from that point on, it really is going to be fun. I think there's going to be some surprising stuff. The medical information this year has been, you know, sparse compared to normal. You know, teams didn't have all the game tape to look at, opt-outs and, you know, shortened seasons and all that. You know, the pro days carried extra value. It really has been a different rhythm this draft cycle. And think about this, too. Most general managers, you know, a lot of them, you know, didn't travel the same way they did before.
Sure.
If you're a GM and you've never seen a player in person, how tough is it to make them their first-round pick? You know, that adds another layer. Maybe there's a familiarity aspect where teams reach for players who are second-round talents in round one. I don't know. I mean, I'm fascinated to see what the effect is.
All right, Eric, let's see how good you are. For the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the 259th pick, Mr. Irrelevant, who's it going to be?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Jermaine Martin from North Carolina A&T. He's a power back. He's got a little juice to him. He's good between the tackles. Hands are a little suspect. Haven't seen him much in pass pro, but for a small school kid with a lot of juice, I think he's a great Mr. Irrelevant. So Jermaine
awesome.
Martin, that's the guy they're going to take. Yeah, I didn't even have to think about it, man. How about that?
Hey, enjoy this week. I know it's like Christmas for you, like a holiday all week, just gearing up for the draft, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay, buddy?
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. There he is, Eric at home. NFL draft expert, Yahoo Sports, and you can hear the excitement in his voice, dude. And this is his job. This is what he does. And it's funny. He goes, "Yeah, you guys like me one week out of the year. Like this is what I do."
Yeah.
But it's again, I throw out Mr. Irrelevant. And he throws at 259, and he has a name for me. I mean, how many chalkboards do you think he has in his house?
Oh, 100%. There's that board with all the connecting wires and everything like that going on right now. So, look, it's going to be an interesting night Thursday. There's so many possibilities. With when you're talking 5 first-round quarterbacks, you know that there's going to be a lot of interest. I think there are going to be some trade-ups, like he said, too. And then, you know, so many teams with these needs. It's going to be wild.
Hey, and again, the excitement level. But are you that guy on day two, like the all weekend following, like the draft?
I used to love when the draft was Saturday, Sunday, when you just got those monster sessions. And yeah, I used to nerd out on that. I also thought that the Pats really screwed up by taking Richard Seymour instead of David Terrell. So I'm not sure how much
for you.
Knowledge I'm bringing to the table when we talk about the draft. But yeah, I'll definitely watch day two as well because, you know, look, the second round, you're still getting some really, really good players there. I usually
usually fall off by the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th.
Let's take our final timeout of the night. We'll come back, tell you about our friends at Rocket Mortgage, and wrap up the show. He's Tim McCone from NBC 10 Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'm Anthony Pepe. You are listening to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
This show presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. All right, McCone. So again, we're fired about the draft Thursday, and the next day we've got the Derby coming up. We have all kinds of good stuff. What are you doing? You're going to be at Gillette Stadium again with tons of makeup on, not a dress this time. What are you doing?
Yeah, Gillette Stadium Thursday night for the draft. Probably be there Friday for a bit as well. So excited to see that. We spent 2 hours talking about it, so you know that the Patriots now are going to trade out of that first round.
So again, you hang out at Gillette Stadium and you wait for Bill Belichick to come
and you know he's always super excited to see us. No question about it. Opens up, tells you exactly what they were thinking, why they made the
moves. The last couple of years, he was not the guy that was there.
Yeah, Nick Caserio the last couple of years, mm-hmm. or probably even like 3 or 4.
Yep.
But obviously now that he's in Houston, it's been Belichick leading up to the draft, which it hasn't been. So I'm assuming it'll be Bill again. And like,
now, fans go out to like around the stadium to
not really. Well, so they used to have draft parties, I think, pre-COVID.
For
some season ticket holders and stuff like that, but I would imagine it's going to be pretty pretty empty this year. And then, like I said, we'll see what Belichick ends up doing. But always always a super exciting guy. Usually sits down for as long as you want.
Yeah, fun times.
Every question.
You don't need to do any prep because it works itself out.
And I'll ask him about Brady. He'll open up about that, why they moved on, everything. It'll be great. It'll be great. Looking forward to it.
Hey, man, it's great seeing you again. Let's do this, not like once every 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for my toaster. Once I get my toaster, then I'll come back in.
Jackson, AC, running Rock and Roll Control in Houston. Great job, as always. We'll do it again tomorrow night. CT Betts will be in. It's the gambling show. You guys have a great night, everybody.